This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, we roll into hour number two. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We do have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. They are stacked up, packed up, and we will get to them shortly. As we dive a little bit deeper into what happened yesterday, shortly after our show was over, Bart, where Donovan Mitchell, that trade finally went down. Donovan Mitchell was moved by the Utah Jazz to the Cleveland Cavaliers when everybody thought he was going to end up with the Knicks in New York. That didn't happen. And what happened? How did this all happen? All you have to do is go to ESPN.com. Brian Windhorst has a story up why the Donovan Mitchell trade was 18 months in the making for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So this was not, at least not for those in Cleveland, not a huge surprise that this deal would go down. Colby Altman making it happen and making sure he landed in Cleveland. And now the Cavs, what did they become in the East, which is a very loaded conference all of a sudden? Let's bring in Windy to give us some background on this and maybe also explain to us why, when we all thought he was coming to New York, it didn't happen. Windy, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Not great. Alan may sound strong, but he's a little shaky today, man. So we're going to have to footprint him and carry him along his journey, man.
Just a little bit.
What happened, Windy? What happened?
That's probably what we should begin with. What happened?
Yeah. This is a really dynamic situation. What I mean by that is there's a lot of different situations and, you know, twists and turns here. It was a very, intense negotiation between the Jazz and the Knicks. There's a lot of skin in the game, a lot of people involved. And, you know, from what I could tell as it was unfolding, there was, you know, pretty high-level stuff going on and even some third-grade-level stuff going on behind the scenes. And I think the Cavs were actually kind of surprised they were able to get in there and do the deal because the Knicks had the most to offer. The thing about it is that just because – the Knicks had the most to offer didn't mean that they were in position to pay as much because their team is in a different place than the Cavs were. Just like other teams who might have wanted Rudy Gobert were in a different place than the Timberwolves were when they did that deal with the Jazz, the Cavs were just willing to pay a little bit more because they felt that Donovan was a piece that could get them closer. They have already three other stars on their roster. Is that a championship team? I don't know. Maybe not yet. But they felt like they had their franchise player already in Evan Mobley and that would, you know, this would sort of be the final star piece. The Wolves felt the same way. They felt that they had Anthony Edwards and Karl Towns and that Rudy Gobert would sort of be the supporting star. So they felt like that would be sort of the final big piece. And those teams were just willing to pay a little bit more. And because the Knicks had sort of the most chips at the table, but the most work to do with their team, I think they were just looking for a deal where they wouldn't feel like they overpaid. And the Cavs were more comfortable going all in. But I would still say to you that this deal, from what I can understand, Donovan Mitchell was almost a Knick on Sunday and Monday. It almost happened. And I think that even as of yesterday morning, I think that I could have still seen it come together. There was emotions on both sides here that I think ended up playing in and sent Donovan to the Cavs.
Emotions. All right, there's a couple of things from all that you said there. And by the way, it's a wonderful breakdown. But I just want to begin with this part that you said. There was some high-level things going on and third-grade-level things going on. You also brought up emotions. Can you give us an idea of the third-grade-level kind of things that were happening here, the emotions going on here? Because some fans – we've already taken calls today, are like, Danny Ainge never wanted to send him to New York. Like, there was that feeling of they just didn't want him in New York. What kind of third-grade level things were happening here?
I just don't think that's true. Because if the Knicks would have paid the price that the Jazz wanted, I think, at the end, they would have – if they were willing to give enough draft picks, they would have had him in New York. You know, Danny Ainge – you know, in the end, the Jazz may want to justify why they broke off talks with the Knicks for certain ways the negotiations went. But if the Jazz had gotten the price they wanted for the Knicks, Donovan Mitchell would be a Knick. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that you let anything petty get involved. you know, there were – I'm not going to go into too much detail here because I have to protect certain confidences.
Understood.
But there were people on both sides that, you know, there was some mud slung at each other and some sensitivities and some past history that were it was involved. And this was such an important deal for the Jazz and such a potentially important deal for the Knicks that this negotiation was just very delicate. And there's so many different people involved in this. And so I wish I could just say more, but, you know, there were times over the last couple of weeks where I kind of just rolled my eyes at stuff that I heard that was going on and said, okay, that's how it's going to be. I will say at the end of the day, had the Knicks traded for Donovan Mitchell yesterday, they would not be a championship contender or even really a contender to, you know, advance in the playoffs in the East right now, in my mind. I think they'd be a way more interesting team. I think going to games at MSG would be way more interesting, but I don't think the Knicks are in that level. I think the Cavs are. Maybe not championship contender yet, but certainly a contender in the East. And I think ultimately that was a big factor in this, is that the Knicks had to come out on the other side knowing they still had their team to build, whereas the Cavs can say, we've got four young stars under contract. We have our core going forward. And when you want to get down to the bedrock, that was the difference between the two, the way the two teams approached the ultimate offers to Utah.
But now it's, Wendy, it seems like, you know, we know that the Knicks are looking to improve their team and they're willing to give up assets. You know, sometimes you have to move on and say, you know what, that deal wasn't the right deal for us right now, but is it a deal out there for them to make, and are they still, you know, exploring? Are they set on making a deal to improve this team? Because that's constituted. This team can't be any better than the ninth or tenth best team in the Eastern Conference with how strong they are now.
Oh, I don't even think they're that. I don't think they're a top 10 team in the East. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's not like the assets that the Knicks had, especially all those draft picks, it's not like they expire. They didn't go away. They still have them. But there's not a deal right now presented that they can get. And that's the frustrating part if you're a Knicks fan, is the unknown, because you've watched numerous star players change teams, get traded, and watch the Knicks be out of position for various reasons. And in this case, the Knicks were in position. They had the edge, and they could have done the deal. And so you have a different feeling coming out of this. That said, I mean, I think what you really – what the Knicks, I think, had to get to a place with was, would they rather – would they be okay not getting Donovan Mitchell knowing that they wouldn't have overpaid? Are they comfortable today saying, okay, we didn't get this star player, but at least we didn't overpay? That's a tough one. That's a tough one when you don't know the future. And especially early in the season, if, you know, if the Knicks struggle and Donovan Mitchell is great in Cleveland, which there's a good chance he will be, the Cavs needed scoring. I could see him being a really good fit there out of the gate. You know, that could potentially hurt. And, you know, ultimately what they do with those picks is where it's going to get defined. You know, it's rare that we see a big trade go down and the team that missed out be almost the biggest story. And that's the case here. And part of it's because they're the Knicks, and part of it's because of the dynamics that were involved in this trade, and that Donovan wanted to be a Knick. You know, when Kawhi Leonard got traded to Toronto, he didn't want to be a Raptor. He went to the Raptors and played great and delivered the championship. He didn't want to be a Raptor. In this case, Donovan Mitchell wanted to be a Knick. And I think that, you know, makes it, you know, even harder for some Knicks fans to swallow. But it doesn't necessarily mean it was the wrong move. We have to just wait and see.
Everything you said there, again, is so on point, because we've gotten – I can't believe the calls we get from fans. They're fine with it. And what you said there, right? Are you comfortable knowing you didn't overpay? But when we get into the season, will you still be comfortable with that fact if you are sitting there at the 12 spot because there's just so many better teams than you and you're finding yourself on the outside looking in on the even just the play-in game? So right now you could be okay with, all right, hey, we didn't overpay, but will it come back to haunt you later? That is so true, you know, certainly on so many levels. But I just want to ask you, Brian, because you're one of the smartest people I know when it comes to covering this league, and you have a really good perspective on a lot of this kind of stuff, whether it's just from, you know, emotional, from business, and also from analytics. So I just ask you, knowing the deals that were out there that have been reported, I know you've seen them all, would you have done this if you were the Knicks? Would you have done it because you're saying, oh, are you comfortable with being overpaid? are not overpaying. So what about you if you were in this position? Would you have done it?
So if you look at the deal that the Jazz made with the Wolves, they didn't really prioritize getting players back. They prioritized getting picks back. And if you look at the deal that they just made with the Cavs, I mean, Lowry, Market, and Colin Sexton are interesting players. They got a rookie, O.J. Abaji. He could be a rotation player. But those guys are not star players. The Jazz priority for these two trades, and again, forget about their words. Just judge them on their actions. Their actions was that they just wanted picks. So if you're the Knicks and you're offering draft picks, particularly multiple unprotected Knicks picks, which to me, that's the number one thing that you want if you're the Jazz, unprotected Knicks picks. Now, granted, the Cavs' 2029 unprotected pick that they got, that could end up being a grand slam. I mean, 2029, Donovan Mitchell could be gone. Evan Mobley could be gone. Darius Garland could be gone. I don't know what the Cavs are going to be in 7 years. That could be a jackpot pick, but you don't know that. What you want is New York Knicks unprotected picks, because generally the Knicks have been a lottery team for the last 25 years. That's what you wanted. So if you're the Knicks and you're seeing that the Jazz are willing to do other deals that are pick-based, why should you put your best players in the deal and all those picks? And I think that's where the Knicks felt. You know, why should you get players and picks when we know that what you really want is picks? And I think the Knicks taking that position was reasonable. What I also think that the contract that they signed RJ Barrett to on Monday was reasonable. That was by all things that we know today, that was a good contract for the Knicks. In fact, when people said RJ Barrett couldn't be traded, I didn't believe that. I actually think RJ Barrett is more valuable on that contract than he was before, because now I know I can get him and know what his salary is. I didn't think that was a deal breaker. What I didn't think was maybe the most prudent move was the Knicks signing RJ Barrett in the middle of all of that as sort of, you know, flicking the Jazz ear in the negotiation. It is not something I have seen before. Had the true deadline to sign players to a rookie extension been on Monday, then they would have done what they had to do. But the deadline isn't to October. They signed that deal, and it agitated the Jazz. And I like the deal. I like the signing. But I would have felt better about it if they just signed him to the deal today after they didn't get it done. Entering that into the negotiation by signing that deal, creating a false deadline and then doing that, I don't think helped things. And so I wouldn't say, without having being in the thick of the negotiations and hearing what everybody said, I mean, I could only get so much information. I didn't think that was the greatest negotiating strategy, even if it did maybe give the Knicks some measure of upper hand in saying, well, if you're not going to do this, we're going to do that. And then the Jazz were like, fine, then we're not even going to call you back and try to get that third unprotected pick. That's what I mean when I kind of talk about third grade level stuff. I do think emotion entered into it a little bit at the end with the Knicks doing that deal and then the Jazz not even calling back, because ultimately the Knicks could have done the better offer and I would have exhausted everything with the Knicks, and maybe the Jazz felt that way, but I'm not sure that that's really true.
So Wendy, at the end of the day, who does the responsibility fall on? Because at the end of the day, we're going to be looking at the Knicks on Christmas Day and they're probably going to get slaughtered by a in-shape James Harden and Joel Embiid. And we're going to be saying, here we go again as Knicks fans. And who should have to take responsibility for three losing seasons under Tibbs? Is his job in jeopardy after this season, if this season goes bad and awry like we expect it to go?
Bart, I'm telling you right now, it's not a playoff team. And so, you know, if you get mad that the Knicks, you know, win 31 games this year, I mean, that's fine, but where they rank in the hierarchy in the East, they shouldn't make the playoffs. And, you know, here's the thing. I like the RJ Barrett contract. I actually like the Jalen Brunson contract and the way they structured it, where it goes down in value. Like, they could trade Jalen Brunson tomorrow. They could trade RJ Barrett today. I don't even really have that much of a problem with the Julius Randle contract. I know he played poorly last year, but the contract that they signed him to, coming off an all-NBA season, he was like the 38th highest paid player in the league. And if he bounces back this year, you know, they can do a good job with him. I like the Mitchell Robinson contract. All of those contracts I like. They structured that so he could be traded. He is an asset to them. I like all these draft picks they've amassed. Like, I look at the Knicks and I say, all of these moves are prudent. But then I look at the team, and those players I just mentioned are $370 million of contracts and, you know, all these draft picks, and I don't like the roster. So that puts me in a quandary, right? So I kind of like the decisions that they've made individually, but I don't like where the team is. So you basically have to say, if you're Jim Dolan or if you're a Knicks fan, you can say, I'm frustrated that they're not getting better right now, and you can be right about that. And then you can say, but they are sticking to a plan, and they're waiting for something to work out. And you can hope that they'll execute it. And both of those paths I can defend, but I can't promise you which way it's going to go.
That is also part of the question now after this, because this has been such a, you did the story on ESPN.com, 18 months in the making for the Cavs. This feels like 18 months in the making for the Knicks as well. When they brought in Leon Rose and William Wesley, and, you know, and obviously Johnny Bryant comes in as an associate head coach. I mean, I know that my spidey senses were tingling, you know, no pun intended. And I was like, all right, Donovan Mitchell, who's from New York, who they passed on in the draft, they're going to get him eventually, right? It just felt like that's going to happen. And so when it doesn't, then you stop yourself and go, well, what, you know, they punt on the draft. I mean, when did they had a pick? They could have taken a good player in Jalen Duren. Yeah. They didn't. Punt on a draft. They move on from players by using first-round picks, and you don't get them, and that's what I ask. I just ask, okay, well, you still have all these draft picks. What now? You know,
I agree.
I think that's where I'm at. What now?
Yeah. Part of being a great executive is landing the plane. You know, you look at Pat Riley. Look how many times over the years, whether it was Alonzo Mourning, whether it was, you know,
LeBron,
Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron, Bosch, Jimmy Butler. You look at like a guy like Sam Presti, like, you know, he's lost players, but he's also acquired them. He's made big trades to acquire Paul George, to acquire Chris Paul. You know, he's landed the plane. Like, I didn't love the deal that Rob Pelinka made for Anthony Davis, but he still landed the plane. So your point is accurate. And Kobe Altman, the president of the Cavs, he executed the deal to get Jared Allen. He executed the deal to get Donovan Mitchell. I agree that ultimately at the end of the day, your tenure is defined by the things that you put together. And that's where Leon Rose ultimately is going to be judged. I just don't want to – I don't have a problem individually with their choices. And, again, had the Knicks traded three unprotected picks and R.J. Barrett in this trade – I would be on this show today saying that they gave too much. All of New York would be very excited, but I would be saying, boy, that's a huge price when nobody else could have paid that much. And the Cavs didn't pay that much. So again, if you're the Knicks, you're angry and frustrated today, but you also are saying we didn't overpay. And so listen, man, this is why it's tough. This is why winning a championship in the NBA is so hard, because there's all these in-between zones, and you got to end up, eventually they got to go and choose, and they've now put themselves in a position where they're probably going to feel pressure to do something eventually. And maybe, you know, your patience is really going to be tested.
Boy, and that's obviously the more scary place to be. Wendy, I could talk to you all day about this stuff. I love the perspective and also the information. Thank you so much for your time.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks. Right. Thanks
Brian
for counseling Allen off the ledge.
Look, I mean, this was a
little bit better here. We can exhale
Hoop Collective podcast, I think, because he really just gave us an incredible amount of information
and
such a great breakdown of everything that happened here, including on the Cleveland side of things and what they were thinking and why, and how, you know, they were able to do what they were able to do. I mean, think about it for Kobe Altman for a second. Bart, he took Colin Sexton, which is a young, talented player that he really didn't have a place for anymore. He took an unnecessary, not needed commodity and turned it into a three-time All-Star who will fit perfectly now in that backcourt with Darius Garland, and turned his team into what could be a top four team, but definitely a top six team in the East.
I think top four, I think exciting and probably the scariest out maybe in the Eastern Conference. Nobody wants to play that side.
Well, and for years to come because of how young they are.
And those guys that can switch on the pick and rolls, and now you got killers, guys who are used to taking a big shot that can give you 50, and Garland is a star. Yeah. He may end up being a better player than actually Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, just again, fascinating stuff there from Wendy. No doubt about that. I'm sure a lot of people have reaction to it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to your calls, but first, Bart, tell us about body armor.
This football season, Body Armor is the choice for hard-working hydration. Whether you're running on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you at the top of your game with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Buy any Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 DraftKings gift card. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drink, more than just a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open in residents of the U.S. 21 years older. You got to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Something intense about, like, when you got the bells in the background.
You hear that hip-hop organ. Song,
anything with a beat and then the bells.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
You get that or you get an organ, somebody got to die.
That's what it feels like. It's Bart Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people, not amateurs. Professional parts people you can trust. Rookies. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. What were you going to say?
I was saying rookies. You know what I'm saying?
It's not rookies, not amateurs. No, the real deal. Wendy was phenomenal. We don't normally go the entire, like, first block. Mm-hmm. We like to break it up, do a couple of things. But he was so good and just brought a lot of information, a lot of stuff. I mean, it was phenomenal. Like, really just gave you a great understanding of everything that happened and why
third
it happened
graders,
the way it did.
People in their feelings.
That third grade thing got me, man.
In their feelings, because, I mean, people in their feelings, man. It ain't about you. It's about us. The fans.
It was the pressure, man.
Swallow your pride, son. Don't be having these little petty, little childish, little nasties.
But I'll tell you what, he's with me on this whole thing. Like, fans are telling me, like, why are you clowning us? Why are you doing? I'm like, you don't see this? Like, look where you are. Like, you had a chance to get somebody. Look where you are. But even Wendy said, I agree. Man, it's a lot to give up, though. You just have to be – Bart, you asked a great question about Tibbs and everything. And what if, like, in December, Christmas Day, and things aren't going well, just think for a minute. Like, are you going to be comfortable saying, yeah, well, at least we didn't overpay? Like, will you be comfortable with that then as you are right now? It's a great question that Wendy asked, no doubt about it. All right. But the people want to talk, so let's talk with them about this on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Pat is in Michigan. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, Bart, you were dropping some lines, so I appreciate that. You were incredible yesterday, but my one comment is I don't understand why Colin Sexton isn't getting more play. 2 years ago, he averaged 24 a game on 48% shooting, and he's just not getting the love I think he deserves. Now, Han, you just talked about him briefly before the break, but other than that, I haven't heard anybody really giving this guy his all-star status he deserves.
Well, remember, we were talking about trading for him before Brunson. We was like, well, what about Sexton? He was injured last year. We were talking about him.
Yeah.
But Pat, for the Jazz, you're right. Like, that's a player. He's 23, I think, right? He's 23.
Yeah.
They got him under a very reasonable contract for a guy that was a first-round pick, a lottery pick. And he is a big part of the deal because they look at him like, well, this is a starter. I mean, this guy can start. So that's what you're looking at, a guy that can score 20 and can start. And the reason why it was easy for the Cavs to move him is because they weren't planning on keeping him anyway.
Because
when he went out, Darius Garland took over at the point guard position, and they took off from there. The two of them together, it just didn't work. So while, like you could say, so Sexton or R.J. Barrett, right? Well, it's harder for the Knicks to give up R.J. Barrett than it was for the Cavs to give up Sexton. That is a big part of this story. But for the Jazz, yeah, that certainly is probably a main piece, an important piece. Let's continue with the calls. We go to Virginia and talk to Dana. What's up, Dana?
Hey, what's up, Han? What's up, Bob?
What up?
I'm going to go a whole other different route with it. I'm going color purple with this. You're going to like this, Bob.
Color purple?
I don't see the Knicks ever getting a superstar, any type of great player like that, as long as they keep shooting Charles Oakley the way they shooting Charles Oakley.
Oh, man, you going Harpo on us? You going Harpo on us?
Oakley the way that Dolan let his goons handle Oakley in the whole year he's been playing in the NBA. Until they do Oakley right, man, Knicks ain't going to never do anything.
You got to say it right. You got to say Harpo. Everything you've done to me, I's undone to you. Ain't no right going to come by you till you take care of Oakley. You know, man, I do my whoopee.
The only thing I'm going to say, though, is that don't call those guys goons, man. Those are security guards that work at the building, and they're good people, and they didn't want to – that was so – for those guys – I'm going to say it again. I say it all the time. Those guys hated that moment. They did not want to do that. Charles engaged them. They had no choice. They were trying to talk to him nicely until he slaps at him and pushes people, and then you got to do what you got to do. But, you know, don't act like he just sent some henchmen in there to just start roughing them up. That is not accurate. Patrick in Jersey. Patrick.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
I got to be honest with you. I've been watching the Knicks since the late 80s, and this was a smart move for the Knicks. I agree with Wendy, yes, from the financial standpoint, but I'm going to give you just basketball facts. One, you can't pair 2 6-foot-1 guards together and start them and think that you're going to be a playoff team. You're not. Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell are both 6'1". If we trade R.J. Barrett with picks, you're looking at your bench and your starting guards. None of them are over 6'3". That's terrible. You're never going to guard the wings.
The Blazers.
So that's a detriment.
The Blazers did it with C.J. McCollum and Dame Dolla.
And did they win? No. And they just broke that
final.
Team up. And now
they did better than
the
Knicks.
Point guard for the New Orleans.
But
they didn't win anything.
Patrick,
I got another one for you. Golden State Warriors when they had Steph Curry and Monte Ellis. They traded Monte Ellis because it didn't work. They got Klay Thompson. They won 4 rings. You can't pair 2 miniature guards together on an NBA and think that you're going to be a playoff team, especially with the way that the East looks now.
All right. Patrick, a lot of Knicks fans feel this way, and I understand it. But I will again ask you, though, now what? Like, that's what I'm asking. Like, I ask all fans this.
We still have those draft picks and all of that collateral on our bench. We need a star defensive small forward or a stretch forward who's defensive. Mm. That's really what we
need.
I've seen enough out of R.J. Barrett. He's 22, and he's averaging 20 already. He's a better defender than Donovan Mitchell, and he's only averaging 5 points less.
Okay.
We don't need more offense. We need defense, man.
But the problem is the conference has lapped you. Listen, the East is like the AFC in football. They got young stars all over the place, and now the team that Donovan Mitchell went to is a team that's going to stop you from being a playoff team. And listen, I was going to ask Wendy this, but he kind of, you know, we're going long. Like, where who would you rather be? Brighter future, Pistons or Knicks? And I know people, Barks a Pistons fan.
But when
you look at it, look at their future,
right?
Young
mm-hmm.
pieces. And if they – Kellen Hayes is going to become expendable. If they put him up there, he becomes their Colin Sexton so that they can try and get a missing piece that they need if they can.
I don't know if Kellen Hayes is at that level.
Yeah,
but
that's
yeah.
true.
Salim
know.
Is in Jersey. Come on, Salim.
How you doing? Can you hear me, fellas?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, listen, man, I enjoy your show. Listen, I've been a fan since 1969. I go back all the way to Hawthorne Wingo. One of the things I like about this is that whether we got Donovan or not, it's a restart. Why don't we just do what we should do, build one piece at a time? We picked up Brunson. Let's deal with that and see what we got. But most importantly, I think we ought to look at our changing in coaching staff, because I do not understand why you go get Cam Reddish, who played with R.J. Barrett, and don't play them on the floor together. They were teammates in Duke. They probably would have meshed real good on the floor. I think we need to get Thibodeau out of there.
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing again when it comes to building, Salim, is piece by piece takes patience. And that's what Bart said and what he asked Wendy and all that stuff. Are you going to be patient in January if you are sitting there, you know, 10th or 11th? You know, okay. Like, that's the thing. Like, are you going to be patient then?
Somebody's got to take the hit. I mean, and that Mark Jackson train is only going to get louder and louder.
This sets up Tibbs now. It really does. Because here's the thing. The young players you wouldn't give up, you better play them.
Yeah, you don't get Tibbs to coach a young team. You get Tibbs to coach a veteran, gritty team.
Which is what they were going to try to do here. You understand that, right? Because they would have they would have probably tried to get like Rudy Gay in the deal. They would have gone for signed Carmelo Anthony. I don't think you're getting Carmelo Anthony's playing for the Knicks now.
No.
If anything, he might play for the Nets.
Yeah,
he'll come home to New York, but it'll be for Brooklyn.
Yeah,
like you got to deal with that now too. Like there's a lot of layers to this, but I'm just keep saying I appreciate Knicks fans for all you New Yorkers that are showing me this patience, saying we didn't overpay. It's just great. I understand it. You are right. It was a lot to give up. I completely agree with you. But will you feel this way when we get into the season? And when it starts to get real, and when you look and see the results of it. Because as Wendy said, you could argue this team, if it's, you know, there are 9 teams with better rosters. Wendy thinks there's 10 teams with better rosters. That means you don't even have a play-in spot. That's the concern. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, of course, we'll keep the conversation rolling with you. But we do got to go back to football because, although there's no NFL, there is a huge college football weekend coming. And if you're a fan of Notre Dame, you need to hear about what's coming tomorrow night for you and a reality that could be setting in as well. We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Go to Dre in Pittsburgh. What's up, Dre?
What's going on, Bart and Hahn?
What's happening?
Man, I just want to see what y'all think about this, man. I feel like Donovan Mitchell going to Cleveland is kind of like when the Warriors elevate them while they were young, like, because you got Mobley, Jared Allen, and Darius Garland, who's the centerpiece, really, in the catalyst. What y'all think about that?
You broke up a little bit. You said it was like the Warriors getting who? We lost that part.
Oh, Iguodala.
Iguodala. Yeah, I thought that's who you were referencing. I mean, Iggy was a little more of a vet than Donovan. Donovan's still fairly young, and but I see what you're saying, though. I do think he does elevate things for them a little bit because it's a guy that can get 50, 60 in a playoff game. We've seen it. You know, he is a guy that can take over a game as well as a guy that can score, get into the paint, all those things. Eventually, Mobley's going to be the main star of that team. I mean, it just seems like he's got all that talent. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Cavs were a top four team. Could they be better? Could they be better than
– And they got much youth.
Veteran teams. Brooklyn –
Yeah, but those guys Boston, on the coast where they're young, they can play a lot of games.
Milwaukee,
right? They don't have a lot of scar tissue on them.
Can they be better than any of those? They're long as hell. They can play up tempo. They can shoot threes. Like
they can defend, man. Mobley's a great defender. Jerry Allen is a plus defender, man.
Corey's in Alabama. Corey,
how you guys doing, man?
All right.
Love the show. Listen, I believe that losing Mitchell, of course he would have been a great addition, but the Knicks haven't had a point guard in forever.
Yep.
And part of the problem with the Knicks is that they were too heavy relying on Julius Randle running that point forward, and that's not his strong suit. He gets the ball, he's
just
4 or 5 turnovers a game.
Yeah. So you're saying
I believe
So you're saying that, that at least they added Brunson, so they got a point guard. You think they'll just be better based on that?
I do. I believe that, you know, if you project out what Brunson does, you know, handling the ball, now he's going to have the ball in his hand. He was running with Luka.
I got it. Corey, we shall see. But there's a lot of pressure now on him and Randall and RJ as well.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We got your calls. We'll continue with them as we move on through the show. But you know what, Bart? Today is the 18th annual College Colors Day. It'll be celebrated by college fans across the country to signify the unofficial kickoff of the college football season. College Colors Day has partnered with Amazon to create an interactive shopping experience for fans to shop for college gear. Simply ask your Alexa to show me my college colors, and fans will unlock a new skill on their device and be guided by ESPN college football broadcasters Reese Davis, Desmond Howard, to the Amazon Fan Shop for the latest in college fan fashion and spirit items. You can use the hashtag College Colors Day on social media to rep your college colors, sharing the excitement. I was going to do that today. LIU lost to Toledo 37-0.
Oh, so they covered the spread.
But we covered. We covered, baby. 47.5. Man, isn't it though? 47.5. Hey, first of all, by the way, it's an FCS, first time FCS. Like, it's a big step for LIU to get into that level of college football. And so they're just trying to build a program. I mean, hey, you know, Ron Cooper is on his way. He's just getting started. But still, 47.5 was the 47.5.
We covered, baby. Yeah, don't disrespect them 47.5, man. We elite. We only 37 points worse. Right. But tell me this. Have you ever seen the movie Fist Fight with Ice Cube? It's about teachers having a fist
fight.
I've never
seen that. Yeah, I know. I know the movie. I never saw it.
So Tracy Morgan plays the football coach.
All right.
And he's just overall athletics. And he said, listen, losing here is a tradition. These kids are uncoachable. I'm trying my hardest not to get one of these kids' parents pregnant.
Wow. Where's that go? Well, I really think it's like,
I feel like
for Tracy.
School. I feel like
for
school.
For Tracy, it is like legit. I think it's part of the deal. Like, he has to, we're going to get you pregnant. Like, I think every movie he's got to say that line.
Try my hardest.
But still, so we begin this weekend, though, Bart. Mm. And, you know, ooh, there's Georgia, the defending champs. They sent 15 players to the NFL, 5 first-round draft picks off that defense. They're number 3 in the country now, the Chick-fil-A kickoff in Atlanta. ESPN Radio, by the way. Hey, ESPN Radio with the coverage, 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow if you want to catch it. They're playing Oregon.
Oregon, look what Oregon did last year when they went into Columbus and took care of business against Ohio State. Really set Ohio State back early in the college season. Upset on their mind again when they talk about going against the defending champs?
Well, speaking of Ohio State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, ABC,
prime time.
Number 5, Notre Dame. Number 2, Ohio State. And you talk about spreads and disrespectful.
Yeah.
Ohio State, originally favored by 17.5. It's still 17. Ohio State favored by 17. Disrespectful.
Yo, Marcus Freeman,
Coach,
man.
Coach Freeman.
Like, how they going to do him like that?
How are we feeling?
Well, I'm going to write that down. You said 17.5 points, right? We'll use that in the team meeting today, you know. It's good to know. You know, I haven't paid much attention to the spread, but I remember the one time we were on College Game Day, I said, just keep making go up and up.
Hey, Bart, talked about the other day, you know, you kind of like hyped up some bulletin board material. You told me one time it ended up
Rashard Mendenhall's
shoulder. Night. Is this something that could fire up a team or no?
See, but here's the thing. You got to have the horses to do it. Like, that's it. You know what I'm saying? It was going to be a tough game for Mendenhall anyway, going against that defense. Like, the problem is this offense for Ohio State is considered maybe one of the best offenses ever. And you talk about what Joe Burrow did in LSU. Considered in the sense that they have the capability of being one of the best college offenses ever, led by a guy that should be a Heisman Trophy candidate in C.J. Stroud.
Right.
You know, Trayvon Henderson. Everybody in the league is waiting for this guy. You know, you talk about they lost Chris Olave, they lost they lost Garrett Wilson, but man, this also the team that had to send Jameson Williams to Ohio State because he couldn't get on the damn field. Mm. So I mean, it's tough sledding, man. When you talk about, you know, they better play four corners and ugly it up because traditionally Notre Dame is big and slow and powerful, and traditionally the Big Ten used to be the same.
Right.
Built about that. Not anymore. It is about speed. They have opened up the gates to the Florida recruits, and they are recruiting fast players because that's where the game is. Notre Dame still hasn't quite got the memo.
No. So you're saying for Notre Dame to even be in this game,
yeah,
they gotta grind it, right? Ground and pound.
Long drives. Because that's what Oregon did to Ohio State last year.
Yeah.
They ran the ball down their throat. If it's any Achilles heel to Ohio State, is that their defense doesn't match the explosive athletes that they have on the offensive side of the ball.
And we shall see again. It's going to be at 7:30 on ABC, Notre Dame, Ohio State. It's still the spread is 17. NFL will come in another week from now. We got quarterbacks to talk about next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.